Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it just the body punching? I was hitting him with body punching. I heard him actually was crying in there. You're saying that Biggs was crying when you hit him? Yes. When did that happen? When perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So that you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, but I knew you were fucking tough and you were taking those punches.
DBLC Productions.
Making woman gestures like,
Let's go, champ. I'm a team like he's a C-plus fighter. I'm a dominant, I'm a dogfish fighter. I'm talking about punch.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice. I'm your host, Nesta Gibbs. We are back. It's Sunday, and we still got a lot of boxing to talk about, man. Listen. It's just so much headlines, so many little news and tidbits we got to talk about. We got to talk about TBV Appreciation Night number 3. I went venue hunting. Oh, man, let's just jump over to sunny California. Is it sunny? I know you was experiencing some bad weather last week. How'd the weekend treat you, Matt?
Dude, you have no idea how bad it is right now. We have, like, mass flood warnings all around my neighborhood right now. Like, the street, like we have Pacific Coast Highways, like, literally, like, 10 minutes. Like, not 10 minutes, like, 100 feet away from me. And it's completely flooded right now because we've had rain and rain all day, all night, and it's nuts. It's pretty crazy.
I hear you. You know, speaking of flooding and things like that being crazy, you know that MD is experiencing some of the same. He was trying to make it out to the show today, but there's definitely some storms in the Florida area, man. So shout out to the good doctor. Hope all is well. You know what's going on to my mastermind Dre, Punch Junkie, Guillermo Lopez, Joey, Road Work Boxing, just some of our regulars in the chat, man. What's going on? You guys know the number 1-425-569-5241. We're going to be talking Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez. Is this fight going to be happening at the AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas? And our next topic is going to be ESPN. Golden Boy Oscar De La Hoya has signed a 2-year deal with ESPN. We touched on this last week. We'll give you more details today. Jeff Horn and Manny Pacquiao make it back to the headlines. Horn feeling he has the power to flatten Pacquiao Marquez style. We'll discuss that. Some sexy news for all you hardcore fans out there. We got Archer Beterbiev and Sullivan Barrera said to be in negotiations. Sullivan Barrera accepted the offer from Archer Beterbiev and the IBF to join in this IBF eliminator for an opportunity to face SOG, Andre Ward, but first they must go through each other. Arthur Beterbiev, or I like to call him the better beast in that division, we'll see just how good he is. Barrera is proven at the very least. We've seen what he did to Shabaransky. And then we have to touch on poor Angel Garcia, son of Danny Garcia. WBC not happy at all. Remember, they just passed a new law that they didn't want fathers being chief seconds in the corner, and WBC not happy with Angel Garcia. They are said to be in a, they're going to be having a meeting with Angel, I guess, to reprimand them in some way. Now, I don't know, Matt, because they've never actually, have they fined any of these guys who actually test positive during their VADA testing? Are they really going to try and sanction Angel Garcia for a few curse words or, you know, some things that they don't like that he said or that the world doesn't like that he said? But, I mean, if they're going to start fining people or if they're going to start reprimanding, they need to start with the people who are popping positive left and right and really, really nothing is happening. But credit to WBC, at least willing to sit down with Angel and see just what's going on and can they, you know, get him to be a little, I guess, cleaner in the media.
Yeah, I think that story is pretty interesting because I think it's more of just a slap on the wrist. I think it's the WBC. I think it's Al Haymon Boxing. I think it's PBC. I think it's everyone and pretty much involved behind the scenes going, we're going to be on CBS on primetime. He can't be saying racial and homophobic slurs. Like, there has to be a line, you know? Like, and obviously there are discussions happening behind closed doors with Angel, with Danny, between CBS execs, Al Haymon, everyone involved. There has to be. WBC included. And I think we're not going to see a fine because I think the precedent of that is something they don't want to really get into. Though I do think that we will see a much more restrained Angel Garcia in the next public media event, I would say.
Totally agree.
And with Travis Canelo, because obviously that's the first topic, and I think that because this is a big fight because of obviously the demographic they both have and share, this fight being in Texas makes perfect sense, especially if it's going to be in the U.S. If it's not going to be in Mexico City, if it's not going to be in Mexico where both these men are born and, you know, where they're from, even though I think that's obviously the best place, if it can't be Mexico City, I think Texas in Dallas at Cowboy Stadium, AT&T, I think is just the perfect idea. I obviously know Jerry Jones is a huge Canelo fan. He's a huge fight fan, period. And hearing reports from boxing scene that he is heavily pressuring Golden Boy to have the fight at Dallas Cowboys Stadium instead of T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. And I won't be shocked if Oscar De La Hoya relents and goes, yeah, why not? Because they have a relationship with Jerry Jones already. They could sell out, God, I don't know, the whole stadium probably. I would not be shocked. I think that the way that this fight can be marketed in Texas specifically, it can do just massive numbers there. And I think that we are going to see a lack of fights, a lack of big fights in Vegas in the next foreseeable future, because I think Vegas is no longer the mecca of boxing like it once was.
In my opinion, it's definitely dying. Like, I'm just dying to say, like, look, if this doesn't happen in Texas, I'm not going. I have no interest in going to Vegas. I know Info Joe or one of our other more frequent callers mentioned it last episode, how, you know, there's just not much to do unless you're into that party life. And, I'd rather be in Texas. I think that it will be a richer fandom for this fight. This is a mega 100%. Fight. For those that don't know the details behind this one, or the facts for that matter, I mean, this is a May 6th showdown between two obvious Mexican stars, Saul Canelo Alvarez, a self-made star, to be honest with you. No pedigree, no legacy to speak of. He is the biggest Alvarez out of the bunch. And Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., to be exact, does come from pedigree. And his name is what's making this fight as big as it is. Now, this was a fight that we once clamored for, and Chavez at that point was the bigger fighter for way too long. And Canelo finally is catching up to Chavez. Now, I want to remind everyone that this is 164.5 pound catchweight, meaning that Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. has to drop 3.5 pounds. Now, Canelo will be moving up from 154, where he holds the WBO, and challenging Chavez at 164.5, which is, you know, about 10.5 pounds. That he is going to gain. Do you think, you know, we talked about the catch weight and how it may affect Julio Cesar Chavez sucking down, but is that added weight going to affect Canelo? Because I know a lot of people are going to say, no, Ness, this guy comes into the fight on fight night 174, but that's when he's weighing into a fight at 154 and 155. Now that he doesn't have to be as restrained and he can actually weigh in all the way up at 164.5, which is, like I said, 10.5 pounds above his normal weigh-in weight on Friday. I don't know. Would he slow down? I mean, I've been seeing all the footage that he puts out. He looks tremendously fast. The left hook looks very devastating, but will he be sluggish in the ring?
I think that no matter what, there's going to be some sort of effect of him moving up 10 and a half pounds. Whether that's positive or negative is determined on fight night, and we will see that, obviously. And same with, I think, Chavez as well. Him cutting that much weight again for the first time in how long? I forget the last time he was at 160, you know? And that could have a positive effect. That could have a beneficial effect to it, or it could have a negative effect. You know, obviously there are odds and what we think is more likely, but I think both are possible outcomes. You know, Canelo moving up 10 pounds, he could seem more natural. He could seem faster at that weight. He could seem maybe even more explosive. His cardio could be better, very most likely. You know, or he's going to look sluggish, like you said. He's not going to be used to that much added weight on him. You know, we saw that almost with Amir Khan when he moved up that much weight against Canelo. He looked a little bit sluggish at times. He did not look used to that amount of mass on his frame at fight night. And I think everyone's going to have their own opinion about it, but I think both men really aren't going to suffer from the catch weight. In my personal opinion, I don't think the catch weight is as big of a deal as everyone says.
Well, I just hope that Jerry Jones is as aggressive as he's been in the past and maybe add just a little more, because the facts are that the MGM Grand in Las Vegas is still tremendously interested in this fight, Matt, and they are pursuing it aggressively. Now, Golden Boy President Eric Gomez did say that he's having talks and meeting with them. Everything is still ongoing with Golden Boy President Oscar De La Hoya, but De La Hoya did have a conference call on Friday with Jerry Jones, the owner of Dallas Cowboys and the AT&T Stadium, and he's very interested. He's been very aggressive as well, and they'd had a great experience the last time out. So maybe, you know, we can get this one in Texas, but like I said, they did not fall behind the MGM Grand. They are also contacting them, them being Golden Boy, a lot and aggressively. And they also have a meeting for next week. And they've been very aggressive, is the quote. So, you know, we're still not 100% sure, but at least Jerry Jones is out there and publicly, you know, saying that he wants this, as well as having ongoing discussions with Golden Boy. Speaking of, we could just move on to the next topic. So give me your final thoughts, obviously, on the Canelo Alvarez landing in Texas. How much of a difference is it for you and the, I guess, paying public, viewing public that will be there live as well? And then, you know, your thoughts, obviously, on Golden Boy, double headlines on TBV here with this two-year ESPN deal.
I think that Canelo Chavez in Texas is the perfect marketplace and perfect stadium for that type of fight in the U.S. market. And I think if it does get landed there, and I think it most likely will, now that we are hearing Jerry Jones really push for it, I think Jerry Jones is a mover in any industry he wants to be. He's that sort of figure in just business. So I think that we are going to see this fight in Texas, which will be great. I think for the viewing audience, Jones, it's going to be interesting because we're going to see possibly maybe like 70,000 people in a stadium on U.S. television. And we haven't really seen that in that way in a long time. And I think that's going to be really interesting just from a viewing perspective. Whether or not you're even in attendance or not, I think it's going to be something to just behold. It's going to make it more of an event. And it may make the haters not be as much of a hater about it, because I think filling out 70,000 people possibly, or 60,000 people in a stadium in the U.S. is just unheard of, really, unless you are the NFL, you know, and, you know, unless you are the Dallas Cowboys, you know. So this is big. This is really big if it does land there. And I think, unfortunately, Golden Boy and the ESPN deal isn't as big. I know everyone thinks it's a really – I know, like, when it first got broke, the news got broke, a lot of people were very happy about it. A lot of thoughts of Golden Boy's prospects going to be on there, maybe even headliners. But then once we found out that it's most likely going to be on ESPN2, and ESPN2's content right now, to me, shows that the content that Golden Boy is going to provide isn't going to be A-level. You're not going to see, like, a Lucas Matisse on there, or a Joseph Diaz. You're not going to see those type of guys, those type of names or prospects or contenders on there, especially not Canelo, obviously. So I think you're going to see a lot of like the Belasco theater cards. You're going to see a lot of those Ring TV cards that are very club level in a way. And that's not to discredit them. I think there's a place for it, obviously. But we're not going to see that on ESPN too. So hopefully we just see more prospects. And I hope that Golden Boy continues to get good prospects, which they've shown a trend to do recently. So I'm not too upset about it, but I think that everyone should sort of pump the brakes about how big of a deal it is. I think we're just going to see a lot of good prospects, a lot of good Friday night fights sort of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of what I said Thursday, how whatever was on Ring TV is now going to move over. I don't see any reason for them not to do that. They don't really have the stable to do anything else other than that. Really quickly, before I switch topics, I just want to give a quick update for the TBV Appreciation Night. If you haven't heard about it, definitely head on over to theboxingvoice.com/reunion, and you can just hit the big play sign in the middle of the screen, okay? I don't know if you guys noticed it. That big picture of Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia is a video, so click on it. There's also tabs there for information. Get all the info you need. And for my Patreon guys, I posted a video of the two runner-ups for this year's Appreciation Night location. I'm looking for your feedback, so head on over there. Remember to download that Patreon app. It's absolutely free, and it's truly a way to for us to stay connected. Anyone that's already using it knows that, you know, I reply to that instantaneously. It's really like texting for me. But definitely check out the venue. I think that the second location is marvelous. Some of my Patreon family who have already looked at it and, you know, commented have basically said the same. No one has picked the first location, which is very modern, contemporary, and sleek. So if you're into that and you want to follow every step, which I'm giving you guys every single step of this appreciation planning on Patreon as well. All right. So look, the ESPN deal, man, look, we know what it is. It's going to be whatever Golden Boy could put together. I highly doubt it's going to be Lucas Matisse. Why, Ness? Because HBO is going to be throwing them more money for guys like Lucas Matisse, Canelo Alvarez, and any other name star, Joseph Diaz Jr. But the guys like the dude that fought versus Kilisto, you know what I'm saying? That dude is going to be the one that looked like Enrique. Yeah, he'll be like on ESPN, you know what I'm saying? And whoever else is on that level. I know Kilisto's on the top rank side of things, but you get my point. Because, yeah. You know, that is what Golden Boy has. So now, this Pacquiao horn business, it's more for you casual listeners that are interested and want your, you know, every step detail on what is happening with Manny Pacquiao. Well, not much of nothing. Jeff Horn is still the front runner, and his latest comment is that he will be able to knock out Manny Pacquiao. Nothing new. Definitely not original, but I guess Matt found it entertaining.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I just think that for one, it's just his attempt at trying to promote the fight, and I credit him for that. I credit Jeff Horn for saying, you know, Manny Pacquiao has been knocked out before. You know, I can KO him. You know, like, you know, you do you. You know, you're the undefeated prospect. It's your job to start promoting the fight in this way. You know, Manny is the star. His name alone sells the fight at this point. And he's never been one to really sell the fight with his words. So I don't discredit Jeff Horn for saying it, but I just think it's just comical. That's all. I just think it's funny. And I can't wait to hear Alex from Australia, because I if he doesn't call in, I'm going to be so upset. But if I can't wait to get his take on the possibility or the likelihood of Jeff Horn knocking out Manny Pacquiao, because I think it's just so slim. God, it's so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know that I've seen Jeff Horn other than the work that Caporelli did.
And I got some news on the location in Australia. It's there are certain stadiums vying for, similar to how like Jerry Jones is vying for the Chavez and Canelo fight, like bidding for it. There's some stadiums in Australia bidding for it. So that's why the location has not been set. I forget the name of the outlet, but it was an Australian outlet I saw that on. Like Brisbane is really pushing hard for it. That's the obviously the home town of Jeff Horn. So they're really pushing hard to get that fight there. So that's what's happening right now in Australia. And that may be why the fight's a holdup right now in terms of getting like officially announced and everything. It's because of...
No one even knows who's Jeff Horn, maybe?
Who the fuck is that guy?
Nah, because of bidding. Like, they don't have a set location, so they want a set location for an official confirmation. I can see that.
Hey, man. So, the sexy news. Arthur Beterbiev, Sullivan Barrera, they have officially agreed to the fight. The even sexier news, Joey from Indiana, who chose not to come to New York and instead is going to see Adrian Broner in Cincinnati. The even sexier news is that this fight is said to be on the undercard of Danny and Keith Thurman, that main event. Now, will this be a co-main? I highly doubt it.
Do you really highly doubt it?
I hope not, man. They'll fucking drop the ball. They make this no-name ass fight the co-main to that big fight. They better not.
What if it's gonna be
the fourth card on the fight? The fourth fight on the card. Excuse me.
The fourth fight. What if it was like a Thurman? I'm throwing this out there hypothetically. Thurman Garcia, Beterbiev Barrera, and Gervonta Davis versus somebody.
No, man.
Okay.
Davis ain't gonna go on that fight on that card because that's the Mayweather promoted guy.
I'm just throwing him out because he's like a relative name amongst hardcores. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they could get his services. I don't know, but no way. They better not. I mean, I don't know. I want the listeners and obviously anybody who watches this in the future, present, past to drop their comments. Let us know. Would you like this to be the co-main event of Thurman Garcia? Man, I don't know about co-main. Yeah, put it on the card. Yeah, I'm coming early. I'll be there. 5 o'clock. Doors open. 5:30. I'm there. But, you know, guys, this is box. I respect box. This is not super fight. You know what I'm saying? This is not co-main event. I respect box. Give me co-main event. You want drama? You want co-main event? Get some good fighters on there that people know, and we'll sell some tickets. Like, this is a good sexy fight for us hardcores. You know what I'm saying? But if we want to sell tickets, if we want to get eyes on this fight on this day, Arthur Beterbiev and Sullivan Barrera, two non-English speaking fighters? No. Are they going to be the third fight? I think they're going to produce action. Yes, give them the third slot or the fourth slot.
I see a third slot.
They cannot, and they should not be allowed to receive co-main event. It just, those names won't even sound right under the poster. It's like Thurman Garcia, Beterbiev, Barrera. It's like, no, no, no. The B&Bs and shit. No, I mean, you know, it's a good-ass fight.
What would be a good co-main event if this is the third bout, you know,
on what a would be the co-main event? I don't even
yeah, like what, for you, like in your personal
I
mean, opinion. Yeah,
but I don't want to guesstimate and take us down this long drawn out path when this is a sexy fight because you know we've seen Beterbiev go down by Page, right? So then if Barrera, we know he's tested, we've seen him go down by Ward, we know we've seen him give a nice spanking to Shabaransky. So it's a barometer fight because a lot of people, hardcore, especially hipsters, not necessarily you. I haven't really heard you banging the bell for him as much since you've been, you know, on here. But there are hardcores. They're like, think he's the man in this.
Yeah, they are. I think Barrera's going to beat him. That's why. That's why I haven't maybe been, you know, raving the pom-poms for Beterbiev.
He's picking Barrera to beat Beterbiev.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Thing. So many love Beterbiev, but he went down by Page. Yes. Yes, he got up and he spanked Page. But let's see what he does now versus a guy like Barrera who has been down, has gotten up and still, you know, fought. Because it's not like Ward took his soul. Ward didn't do that. Ward outclassed him and beat him, but Barrera kept trying. So he has the warrior fighting spirit. But I like this fight. Wow, early pick, he went Barrera. At this point, though, to be honest with you, like I've seen Barrera in with better competition than I've seen Beterbiev in with. So, you know, an initial pick. I don't know. I mean, I'm known to pick with resume. I mean, just for today, it's not like it's actually.
Yeah, it's not official yet. Yeah. That's not official.
I'll lean with Barrera too. You know, he's battle tested. The loss with Ward, the win over Shabaransky. Who else he fought other than Ward? Ward was his burst on the scene, right? So really, really, he doesn't have much over Better Biev except world exposure and being under those bright lights, which means something. You speak to most fighters, and it means something being under those lights and knowing how to perform under them.
Yeah, completely. And I, again, like, he lost to Andre Ward. Like, so is Sergey Kovalev. And, you know, like, it's not like it's a bad thing, you know? Like, I think everyone really wrote him off as a tune-up, a showcase, or whatever after that Ward win. And then I think Brera went back in that Shabransky fight and was like, no, I'm a top dog. I'm a top five in the light heavyweight division. I deserve some respect. Like, if Solomon Brera went in there and beat, like, an Adonis Stevenson, I want to be out. I want to be shocked, you know. Or if he did a lot better in an Andre Ward rematch, you know, I wouldn't have picked him in an Andre Ward rematch, but I'd pick him to do better. You know, I wouldn't be shocked either. So, like, I think a lot of people wrote him off. He's not an Alexander Brand, you know. He is a legit top five light heavyweight, and I think that means something nowadays.
Definitely, definitely agree. So, Angel Garcia, he's going to be. They're going to take the ruler out and spank him like they used to do back in the schools, back in the day, the nuns. It's like, no, we'll see what the WBC is going to do. Again, what are they going to do is what I want to know. I mean, when guys test positive, what do they really do? I mean, so we'll see. I'm not going to spend much time on it because we have to just wait and see what repercussions are going to come from this. But at least, again, there's so many people out there that, you know, criticize WBC. I don't see any other sanctioning bodies stepping up. And here they are again. So at least attempting to try to restrain or reprimand Angel and, you know, I don't know, do something.
Very quickly, I think that the one issue we get when it comes to a sanctioning body, you can argue even a promoter or network, you know, any of these overarching controlling bodies in boxing, once they start really exercising their power, it becomes a argument of fighters versus them. It really does. Because when you talk about, you know, because how many callers do we have that called in about Andrew Garcia and said, that was entertaining. That made me want to see the fight more, you know? And so we have this, we're always gonna have this battle between battle of control over the sport and the nature of the sport between sanctioning bodies, fighters, promoters, managers, etc. And this is just another example of that. And until we have really in said contract in stone between these entities, what the relationship is and isn't, we're going to get stuff like this that's purely arbitrary. Same with the WBC's drug testing policy. That's a purely arbitrary thing that they just created. Think about it as a contract. Imagine if you signed a contract with a company and you're in it for a year and all of a sudden they say, we're going to start drug testing you right now. You're like, wait, I didn't sign that. When I first signed the contract, that wasn't in there. And imagine every WBC champion that thought that. Like, when I got this belt, that wasn't a part of the deal. You know, and again, I'm not making excuses for drug testing or for drug cheating or for PEDs or for even using racial and homophobic slurs like in Angel Garcia's case. But I'm just saying there is always going to be this argument until we have set in stone concrete contracts between these entities. And that's my personal opinion on the matter.
I hear you, man. So, listen, before we open up these phone lines, I want to remind everyone that is watching over and over. Here's the same message again. Wow, there's so many people watching and the thumbs up just don't equate. Can you hit the thumbs up button? Yippity-yow. Jeez Louise. Anyway, we're going to get to these phone calls. Remember that number, 1-425-569-5241. Topics on deck. Canelo versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Fight looking to be headed towards AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Do you like it? Would you visit this fight now that it's going to be in Texas, or would you prefer it in Las Vegas? Let us know when you call in. ESPN and Golden Boy, 2 years worth of fights. You excited for this? Horn, believe it or not, feels like he's going to knock out Manny Pacquiao. Do you believe? Arthur Beterbiev said to be, well, he definitely said on his Instagram and Twitter that the fight is in New York City, March 4th. He's an Al Haymon fighter, so I don't see what other card he's going to be on in New York City, March 4th. That is a Haymon card that is not the Barclays Center Thurman Garcia fight. So this looks to be headed to the Thurman Garcia undercard. Do you want it as the co-main? Is it sexy enough to be a co-main? Are you happy that this fight is headed that way and that it is done? And obviously, your takes on the fact, not on Angel and his comments. We did that a show ago. Your takes on the fact that the WBC is actually looking to reprimand him, have a sit down, a physical face to face or a teleconference is what they told me via email. So are you guys, I guess, happy with that? And again, future, present, past, thumbs up, more exclusive content, like first looks at TBV, the third appreciation venue possibility location, right? Because there's two possibilities. Head on over to Patreon and check that up. Plus a couple of film studies we did, and we're getting Matt. I'm being asked that maybe we should do the Golovkin Brook to kind of, I guess, use it as a barometer for Jacob's agility versus Brooke's agility.
Yeah, we can do that.
Overall, it's a sexy fight.
I can do a show every day, 24/7. You know?
No, me too.
I'm here for the public demand, okay? So that's all. If you, the callers and listeners, want us to do that, we'll do it. No problem.
You know, my pledge on Patreon was, you know, the goal is to make it a daily show. So the more the merrier for I. Let's get on out to our callers. But first,
these calls are brought to you by our sponsor, El Camino Electrical Services, who have over 15 years of commercial electrical experience, servicing the whole Silicon Valley and the entire San Francisco Peninsula. Visit us at our website, elcaminoelectricalservices.com.
Alex in Australia, boomerang status, talk to me.
How's it going, boys? Good show again, as always. Everyone, sign up to Patreon. It's the best thing. I got the boomerang for a reason. Aussie with the boomerang. I heard your little comments, Matt, about the Pacquiao Horn thing. Come on. We know Horn's going to knock him out.
No. Oh, Alex, come on, man. No, come on.
Horn's, no. I'm serious. Seriously, Horn's got about as much chance of a knockout as Malignaggi would against Mayweather or something, man. He's not going to knock him out. He's going to lose. I never argued the talent of Horn. I never argued that.
I'm just messing with you, Alex. I'm just messing with you, brother. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I know. I never argued the talent of Horn. I just said I respect the rankings. Just like I want Brooke to fight Spence, I want Pacquiao to fight his mandatory, and I would love boxing in Australia. We don't get much of it here. Actually, we get close to none. Our best fighter in recent times is Daniel Gill, and barely anyone knows him. So, yeah. What were the other topics, sorry?
Golden Boy, yeah. ESPN. Their two-year deal to promote or, you know, air fights on ESPN2 and ESPN Deportes.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, any main exposure from one of those big networks like ESPN is a good thing. I mean, we want our sport to grow. We want the boxers to get paid so we can keep watching the sport we love. So, and the fact it's going to be at the AT&T holding 50 to 70,000 people, that's ridiculous. That the atmosphere will be crazy, especially for the crazy Mexican fans there. But yeah, my call.
Alex, man, thanks for calling in. You already know. Let me know if you want to get boomeranged right back when things get a little sexy. Perks of his Patreon status. We're going to head on out to these phone lines. Remember the number 1-425-569-5241. We're going straight out to Joey all the way in Indiana. Former WBC champion Joey, talk to me. How you doing?
Yo, good evening, Nestor. Good evening, Matt. How you guys doing? Hey, Ness, I'm actually visiting Texas this week, man, so I'm excited. I'm actually, though, Canelo Chavez, to me, makes more sense. I mean, just for you talking about a big Cowboy stadium, I mean, we're talking about big gate. I mean, this easily can fill 80,000 people, man. You could just imagine the day of the fight of how many fans will walk up. Another thing, there's guys like me, you know, the average Joes, blue-collar guys, we can't afford them prices out in Vegas, man. I mean, them tickets are just ridiculous. A fight like this with that many people in the stadium, it'll be affordable where you can go with your friends or family or whatever you want to do. So, and I think it's good. It's Cinco de Mayo weekend. Texas always got something going on. And I think this, like Matt said earlier, man, Vegas is drying out, man, and we need to expand a little bit. And I think, you know, Canelo did that with Liam Smith. So imagine what he's going to do with Chavez. So I really hope it goes to Texas. On to the next topic. I like the fact that, you know, Golden Boy is going to ESPN. For me, it helps because I don't have to go online anymore and get on the Ring TV and then plug that HD cord into my TV just to watch it. So I like it, man. And hopefully they'll bring back Teddy on the call, and just to showcase some of the newer talent. More boxing for us fight fans is always great, even if it is just prospects, man. And it looks like, you know, they're gonna have it on ESPN Deportes too, so that'll help the Spanish speaking audience as well to tune in. You know, I don't have a problem with Joe Horn's comments. I mean, he's got to get his confidence up, man, and especially, you know, after that video you guys posted. You know, I'm intrigued with it. I don't. Can he knock him out? I mean, anybody can get touched on any given night, man. But I mean, I do like his confidence going in. You might as well, his biggest fight of your career. As far as Suleiman Barrera, that'd be a nice card on that Thurman card. But maybe if they do something on Showtime Extremeness, that could be like the main event for Showtime Extreme. I don't think CBS is gonna hold three fights. I think they're just gonna have Thurman Garcia and maybe showcase Lubin and really just focus mainly on hyping up Thurman Garcia. So I really think the fight can be a main event for Steve Farhood to call, man. I think Farhood and his buddy that are going into the Hall of Fame they'll call this fight really good. And as far as for Angel, man, I mean, it's been a hot topic all week. I've been talking about it. I would, you know, would love for them to have a sit down with him. And I even talked with Monster yesterday about it, of how maybe possibly I'm Angel Garcia and Danny. I'm sure they had to talk with him about maybe even coming out and doing a public apology. I know a lot of people are saying that's overboard, but man, just you gotta do something. I don't know if you write a letter or just come out and say it, you know. But that's my call, Ness. I'm sorry I'm over here just rumbling off, but that's my call, man.
All right, Joey. Well, thanks for calling in. Joey, man, head on over to Patreon and check out the video for the location, man. Give us your feedback. Obviously, Patreon family, we're looking for your feedback. We're going to 281. 281. Who is this? Where are you calling in from? First time caller? Oh, he jumped smooth off and said, no way.
He was too scared. He was too scared.
Damn. Why are you doing that, 281? Yo, that was... That hurt my feelings. It hurt my feelings, man. Wanted to meet a new first time caller.
Mr. Info Joe.
Tell the truth, yo. Tell the truth.
This portion of the show we call In the Know, presented by my brother.
Tell the truth, yo. Tell the truth.
What's up, Boxing Voice family? What up, Ness? What up, Matt?
What up, Joe?
Oh, Joe.
Hey, well, I want to say what's up to all the callers, all the listeners, everybody in the chat. Much love from above from Info Joe. Hey, Canelo Chavez. Hey, my Mexican neighbors, man. I've been knowing them forever. We break bread all the time. We real tight together, man. But this guy has never initiated boxing talk to me, man. And he's real hyped about the Chavez-Canelo fight. I wasn't as hyped. But when he came and talked to me about it yesterday, I got real hyped. They're going to have the big Cinco de Mayo party, and they invited me over. You know, when they do it, man, they do it big, and they party all night. So I was like, hell yeah, I'm hyped. But before that, I wasn't, man. They hyped me all up. But also, Ness, I love the location for the TBV party, man, the one with the rooftop, brother. That's tight, man. I love it. Real vintage, real New York, Brooklyn.
I know, man. And, I can't wait to be up there with you, Joe. Letting one light it up. Light it up.
Yeah, put it in the air.
I can't
can't wait to look over the city, man, of New York, man. It's beautiful, man.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm so excited. You don't know. I woke up early just to go see those venues, man, because I can't wait. I want to be prepared this time. I want this one to be the best ever, and so far, we're headed in that direction for sure. I've already got guests. Can you believe it? I'm starting early, baby.
I was just about to ask you, what are you thinking about getting, man?
Bro, I'm going to – yo, with that amount of space, I'm going to invite just as many fighters and trainers and people in the industry as there will be, you know, attendees. I'm gonna try and bring everybody. Yo, guns is loaded this time around.
Oh man, hey man, I appreciate the show, man, and you're doing an awesome job. Hit those thumbs up. Become a Patreon. You're listening to the number one pound for pound boxing podcast in the world. TBB, baby, that's my call, Ness.
All right, Info Joe, thanks for calling in, man. Let me get to Mr. Yes Sir, our newly signed up Patreon. Mr. Yes Sir, what's going on, brother? Did you check out that video?
I did. First of all, I want to say to all my little Southern Californians, hope y'all getting home in this flooded street here. Because, you know, to all the Californians, get home safe. To Info Joe, go ahead and enjoy that damn Mexican party. That is going to be good. I know how the Mexicans get down. Enjoy that shit. And I would like to say, I kind of dig what the WBC is doing. It's kind of like what the NBA did with the whole dress code. Polish it up, you know. The NBA was already popular, but they wanted to get to that next level. And I think that's what WBC is helping boxing, doing like, hey, tone it down so we can take boxing to the next level. And Horn, you gotta feel you could crack the fuck out of a champion. If you see Bradley drop him and then you see him get slept, you gotta think I can do that. If you see that happen and you don't think you can repeat that, then you shouldn't be the boxer. And I like what Canelo and Golden Boy are doing with this AT&T. I think the MGM, that was Floyd. That was Floyd's building. That was his shit. Now that Canelo is a star, you make your shit now. You take boxing for the new thing. And I like how they're doing the new home for boxing, the AT&T. More people. I like that a lot. And before I go, I do have just a quick casual question for Matt. Around here, when I talk, because I really have no one to talk boxing with. And I figure since you're in LA and I'm Anaheim, when I talk to people, I get casual answers. All they know is Canelo, Triple G, and fucking Leo Santa Cruz since he's Florida Anaheim. What, since it's just not that far apart, what are your casual answers when you try and talk boxing to people?
Well, first off, Mr. Yes Sir, definitely I'll hit you up. Because like me, Info Joe, Santiago, Frangoli, like we all get to JP from Long Beach, like we all get together, watch fights. You're an Anaheim brother, like you're TBV West Coast brother, like your family. So I'll hit you up. Don't worry about that. And some of the casual ones I get is definitely Canelo. Triple G is huge, obviously, because we're in LA. You know, I honestly, like when I hear casuals talk about boxing, they're always like 5 to 8 years behind the rest of us. They still talk about Floyd, Manny, Cotto, Margarito. You know, they talk about those guys. I mean, even Oscar, you know, they always harken back to those. Yeah, you know, I very rarely hear people talk about Andre Ward even, or a Deontay Wilder, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, like casuals. Like when I'm talking about casuals, I'm talking about like pure casuals, right? Like not Enrique on the show, because he doesn't count. But I really hear people that are almost retired or are retired.
Yeah. All right, well, you guys have a good one. You guys have a good one. And TBD, baby.
All right, Mr. Yes Sir. There you go. Now you're part of the crew that I'm jealous of. Now you're going to be invited to all the freaking fight parties and shit with these guys. Thanks a lot. Have fun. You guys better start sending Ness some Christmas cards for all these relationships you're building, man. I swear. Rod, talk to me. This is our correspondent out in Texas who has brought in us that good footage. Yo, I was just talking to Martin Barrios, Rod. You know, congratulating him on his daughter's win. Anybody who checked out the Famoso card yesterday got to see Selena Barrios killing it in like 40-something seconds, got a knockout. So definitely that pedigree, like we were talking Julio Cesar Chavez and son, you know, Barrio, brother and sister duo, definitely putting in that work. But, yo, that bag work, man, her left hook is something serious, man. I want to see her continue to move up. And he's thinking about moving her fast. There's another fight coming up in Florida there. But, Rod, what's going on, man? Rod. I mean. Oh, yeah, it's definitely Rod's number. And I mean, talk to me, man.
Yo, come back to me, fellas.
Okay. Rod, man, what's going on with your foe? El Dude from Texas, talk to me.
California,
homes. Oh, shit, California. I'm sorry. El Dude, what's up?
Cut it.
Yo, dude.
My bad.
What's up, fellas? Everybody, how's it going, man? Yeah, you know what? I think Texas has 832. I think. I'm not sure. I think there's an 832 in Texas, but I'm 831 over here in Central Coast, California. Enjoying the rain, enjoying the show, homes. Like always, you know, always listening. You're to have, just throw down my comment, man, if I can. You know, fucking on the Chavez Canelo fight. And in my opinion, homes, and I have a question for you guys. Like, what do you guys think is going to happen if Chavez comes out blasting at Canelo like he did to Sergio Martinez in the 12th round? You know what I mean? Straight up brawling, trying to knock him out. You think Canelo can handle that pressure? Because he never really fought somebody that tall, that big, you know what I mean? And in my opinion, Chavez, key to win this fight, he has to win from the outside, homes. It's going to be up to that left hook. If Chavez Jr. can place that left hook after placing the jab, setting him up, you know, uppercutting him, you know, setting him up for the overhand right hook, whatever. But if that left jab is going to keep Chavez Jr. in the game, as long as he keeps him outside and hooking him and pounding him, he's going to win this fight. He might win it by knockout. But Canelo's key to win this fight, he has to win the inside game because he can't reach him. He's shorter. So Canelo's job is to pull the classic 1-on-1 brawler move. Get up inside, go for the ribs. You're taller than me. Try to land that uppercut. Come up with some hooks, you know what I mean? But it's Chavez, man. Chavez has a great chance in this fight, and he's coming. He's looking prepared. And one thing for Chavez, homes, he's not doing it for the money, homes. He's doing it old school style. He's doing it old school style. Like, man, I don't give a shit about it. Plus, he was born rich, homes. He was born rich, and he still got that money. But he don't even need it. And you know, everybody know he's going to get fined $1 million for every pound that he comes overweight. And for every pound he comes overweight, what is the maximum? What if he comes in 10 pounds overweight? What if he says, you know what, I'll fucking pay you $3 million. I'll come in, you know, an extra pound. But
nah,
he's not going to be in debt because he hasn't paid off. I don't know, because there's their limit.
El Dude, where's he going to get 10 mil to pay?
No. I mean, he's guaranteed $6 million. He's a guaranteed $6 million. So if he comes in overweight, say 7 pounds, he's not going to get paid at all, but he's going to owe Canelo an extra $1 million out of his pocket. He could afford it. I mean, is there a limit? Is there a limit to how much he can?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if he'll. I don't know if he would do that. That's still $7 million, and dude, that's a weird gamble.
But
I don't know.
A rematch.
Yeah.
But imagine the rematch. It'll make Canelo look like a punk if for 8 pounds.
I don't think Canelo cares anymore about being a punk, bro.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying, is there a limit? I don't know, but to me, it's interesting. I think if it's fair to fair, if the weight comes in classic, if Chavez is down to earth and says, you know what, I'm back, I'm dedicated, I'm not going to bullshit nobody, I'm going to straight fight everybody, it's Canelo. You know what I mean? Canelo's going to win this. Tactical, he's a better boxer. I think we're going to see the prime of Canelo, something we haven't seen yet. You know what I mean? I don't think Canelo has reached his prime, and I think Chavez Jr. will bring him to the prime.
Well, all right, El Dude, man. Thank you for calling in, brother. That was the round right there. We do appreciate it. Listen, if you're watching this on YouTube, present, future, past, hit that thumbs up button. It helps with the visibility of the show. Really quick, one of our resident listeners is very, has been very persuasive in wanting us to talk about this David Haye and Richard Schaefer situation. For those that don't know, David Haye and Richard Schaefer have combined promotional companies in the UK. They're 50-50 partners, and the company's name is Haymaker Ringstar Promotions. And both logos, both original Haymaker logo and the original Ringstar logo are being used. You know, Schaefer's excited to be, I guess, promoting fights in the UK. You know, Schaefer is known for some of the biggest events in the last decade or so. Remember, he promoted Oscar De La Hoya's 2007 match with Floyd, I believe. And he also promoted the Canelo, you know, Mayweather, you know, those numbers. It's not like he doesn't have skills, right? Doing what he's doing. He's teamed up with David Haye. I just don't know what it means. I remember waking up to the news and watching the press conference live. And before watching the press conference, you know, contacting Matt, like, yo, we have to do an immediate reaction. We have to do it. But after watching the press conference, the excitement that I hyped myself up to have was gone. It fizzled out during the press conference because they weren't talking about nothing. I mean, it's more of a UK-based thing for Haye and Schaefer. I don't really know what it means for us here in the US. And again, when I was excited, it's because I thought that Schaefer was signing David Haye. And I said, well, wow, that means, you know, Schaefer does business with Al Haymon. That means we'll finally get at least a Wilder David Haye. But that's not the case. They're co-promoters, 50-50 partners, and it's a UK-based thing. And, you know, Haye feels like that he can steal fighters. It's just that's just the bottom line.
And he has a fighter in mind. You know that, right?
I don't. I'm sure it's Eubank.
Yeah.
Hang out and train. But, you know, he's basically saying that, like, oh, I know a bunch of fighters that aren't happy. They come to me all the time, and it's been a long time in the comings. I needed this, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, I guess he's going to go out there and be aggressive in the UK market. Look, whatever means more boxing for us is good. There you have it. We reported it. Give us your take. Santiago in California, talk to me.
Oh, Santiago's bad. Let's go back to Rod and see if he's there.
Santiago? I just heard him say hello pretty clear. I don't know what happened. Rod in Texas. Hello?
Santiago.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I was on mute.
What's going on, Rod?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Loud and clear, even though you're on speaker or something.
Yeah, sorry. I was in the drive-thru, but yeah, it was a good night of fights. Selena, she's, I'll tell you, I think she fights better than a lot of these men, man. But, yeah, she stole the show, and, you know, it was a good night of fights. It was Carlos Formosa Hernandez's first local promotional show, so it was a good night. And speaking of casuals, man, that's how you get them in tune. You got to bring them into the local boxing. They got to get in touch and really see some live fights. And that'll get them to maybe want to change the channel, watch HBO, ESPN, or whatever. But anyways, to this Canelo Chavez, this is big news. I thought that it was already set in Vegas, but you know, if it does land in this venue, it's going to be really big. We know the demographic right now, as far as who brings a lot of the money to the table right now, is Mexican, and there's a lot of pride on the line. I think they will do like 80,000-70,000. It's a crazy atmosphere there. These guys tailgate. It's like a football type of event where everybody's outside hanging out. You got the flags, you got the canopies, you got the barbecue pits going, the beer's flowing. They're going to need some extra security if they do that fight inside there, man, because I'm telling you, it's going to be crazy. But this is Chavez Sr.'s namesake on the line as well. And, you know, and with Canelo, he's Canelo. So I think this will be big in Texas. Hope you come down, man. I'm telling you, it's gonna be wild. And
nah, man, this one happens in Texas. I'm out there. I needed an excuse to get to Texas, but it's got to be a big enough fight. The last time I was there was Broner Maidana. You know how that big that was.
Yeah, and for fans, they should, and they don't even have to be close to, because that place is huge, and they have that screen that's 60 yards long. So you really don't need to be spending too much on tickets. If you know, I'm sure they're gonna, everything there in that venue is expensive. That's what I got to warn people to park. It's like $50 to $100 just to park. So everything there is expensive. The beer is like $8, $9. But, you know, they got that big screen. You really don't have to be too close to the ring. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a wild event if it is down here. And, yeah, it's going to be, you know, Oscar's name brings a lot of attention, along with Canelo. And then you got Chavez Jr. and you got Chavez Sr., who's going to be, you know they're going to use him in the 24/7 into the build-up. You know, there's a lot of passion and pride on the line. So, man, I'm shocked to hear that it might happen here, and I hope it does.
I do too, brother. I'm rooting for you guys to get that one, man. I hear that the young Barrios is headed off to camp here in the next couple of weeks. He's going to be doing about 3 weeks with Virgil, then another 3 when the father gets out there. You going to get us some footage, some departure footage?
Yeah, I'll try that. I know they leave tomorrow, but, you know, yeah, I think he's going to be out there. He's going to be training alongside Jacobs. And so that's going to be another interesting thing for him as a young fighter, to be training alongside Danny, who's going to be, you know, in the ring with Golovkin, the biggest fight of his life.
Dude, right now?
Yeah, I'm not.
Right now that gym is jam-packed. I mean, from Fora is there. Quillen is there, Jacob is there, Berto is there, Khan is there. I mean, it is crazy packed. I've been staying on top of that one. Check out our IG, follow us at The Boxing Voice on all forms of social media, but we've definitely been keeping you updated to those moves of Daniel Jacobs and training footage on our Instagram. 908, I mean, tell me you're ready.
Yo, I'm ready. What's good, fellas?
What's going on, brother?
Yeah, listen, I want to get right into it. I don't think that this whole promotion with Golden Boy and ESPN, I think it's a terrible idea, because the fights that we're getting, everybody says, I mean, unless Diego De La Hoya is moving up anytime soon, who exactly are we watching? Is nobody signing Golden Boy? So them fights is going to be real, real shitty. And, you know, I'm not with it, oh, just because we're getting boxing. Like, sometimes, if it ain't worth watching, I mean, even the most hardcore fan, it takes away from us promoting how good and competitive some of the stuff is. So, I don't know. If Diego De La Hoya ain't moving up, or he's signing new fighters, and it's just going to be I don't know what it's going to be. Outside of that, though, man, that Lopez fight was pretty good. I don't know if y'all talked about it.
Oh, man, it was.
That was pretty good. Ronald Ellis.
Man, that one hurt, yeah. Man. That one hurt, man.
Yeah, because he's family. He's TBV family, you know?
Yeah, man. That left hook. He got clipped on the inside with that left. I just felt like he never recovered from that.
Danny
yeah, man. Good, I mean, it was good, though, man, because – Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
I just said that Danny Roman looked really good in that. That's all.
Yeah. And I didn't even expect him to look that good, man. But, you know, it's good news so far. I had mentioned it the last time I called. I said this Canelo and Chavez is like Mayweather and Pacquiao, you know what I'm saying, for Mexicans, you know, for the Mexican fan base. So it's you know, it's going to be real exciting to watch. I purchased my tickets this weekend for Thurman and Garcia, and I'm waiting for the news on the appreciation, and I'm ready to go for 2017, fellas. That's my call.
All right, man. That's what I'm talking about, man. You better get your RSVP in because appreciation night is on. You know, everyone's still going to receive that refundable message because it's already in the message, but it's over. We are officially having the venue. We've already started to invite fighters and trainers. We have a few. I'm making tons of phone calls. This thing is going to be litty for sure. I'm telling you. I'm already very, very excited. Again, our Patreon family, you could go head on over to Patreon and check out both venues. I did, you know, obviously gyro footage of both venues, and I'm really interested in your feedback. But it looks like, Matt, it looks like everyone likes the rooftop one. I mean, I knew that
why.
One was
going to be. We know why.
It's just too much space. It's exactly what we need. I have no clue how to pronounce this. What did you put here? Gupo?
No, go back to Santiago. We didn't go to Santiago. Oh. Come on, Ness.
Hey, can you guys hear me now?
Loud and clear, Santiago. What's up?
Not much, Ness. I'm pretty sure you got my two RSVPs just a while back. And I'm obviously looking forward to attending the TBV Appreciation Night in March. I'm already planning the trip. And, you know, I think it's a good idea that they're putting the fight in Texas, because that's where they're going to get the most bang for their buck. It made no sense to me why they thought they could do it in Vegas, honestly, from a financial standpoint. So it should be interesting to see what they do now that it's there, because Texas is Chavez country. Canelo's done well in Texas. So, you know, they should do good. You know, maybe not as well as most of us think they should, but they probably will. I enjoyed the Showbox card yesterday. You know, it hurts to see Adam Lopez lose, because, like, I've been following that guy for a while since he first showed up on Showbox. Daniel Roman looked really good, landing that beautiful left hook to the side of the chin and changing the entire demeanor of the fight. So I look forward to seeing more of him in the future. And I'm excited. You know, I discussed the Better Diaz Barrera fight with Matt. And I'm personally picking Beretta, simply because the one thing we have to take into account is that while they may have the same reach, Beretta is actually the taller man at 6'2", to Better Diaz 5'10". That's pretty much all I really have to say about this. Unless you guys have any other questions, I'll leave you guys be, and I look forward to seeing you guys in March.
Oh, man, Santiago, I cannot wait. You definitely, you haven't signed up. You need to head on over to Patreon so you can check out the venue, man. See what you're going to be getting for sure. I'm going to take a shot in that. I don't know. Is it Gupo? You think it's Gupo or what?
Gupo.
Gupo in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Or Guapo.
Definitely not Guapo. Gupo? 717? That's
the Brooklyn.
717?
You've been on for an hour.
Hello? Hello?
Don't do this to yourself.
Young Smack, the general from Milwaukee. What's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, what's popping?
What up, what up?
What's good, Young Smack, the general in the building? What's good, Matt? What's good, Ness? Yeah, hit Matt off with a gunshot real quick for short-circuiting people's call all the time watching the last few shows. And but, yeah, real quick, you know, Canelo Chavez, I think it's the right place in the ATT stadium. That'd be the best place to do it. But I just feel like greed may pull him back towards Vegas and T-Mobile. But I wish that was in Dallas, Texas, because we can get some type of barometer to compare with the UK and what they've been doing in Wembley, and talking about, you know, these nostalgic fights with crotch girls and all that. I really want to see what these guys can do with two kind of hot names. Then Better Be of Barrera. I like the fight. I just don't know if, you know, if it's the right fight to put it as a co-main, but I do like the fight. And Jeff Horn, he on that Crazy Angel right now. He on that, he on that PCP, whatever. You know, he's doing a lot of drugs right now, thinking that he can stop Pacquiao. And he really on death row, to be honest with you, looking for his last meal. Other than that, yeah, that's too bad about Lopez. I've been following him, too, since he's been on the show. And that's pretty much my call.
Well, all right. Young Smack the General. Yeah, man, it's kind of tough, man. It hurts. It hurts to see Lopez lose. But I'm going to actually try to, you know, Matt, what did you think of the fight while I pull up? Obviously, Matt's going to be doing a little buffing here. I'm going to look for Lopez's message on Facebook. It was It was a good one, you know, and I just want to read it. You know, he's in good spirits at the very least. And he's talking of continuing.
My thoughts on the fight were that the first few rounds were really slow, and you can tell they're really having a hard time finding the range and the distance. And I think that's obviously just due to both's relative inexperience. You know, these guys aren't elite. You know, look on what card they're on. You know, that's not a bad thing. There's a place for that, like I've said earlier. I thought Adam Lopez showed that he is a tough motherfucker, man. Like, the amount of shots he was taking at times, you know, I was shocked the ref didn't call it or his corner didn't throw in the towel sooner, because he was getting hit with some hard shots. And to his credit, there was times where he came back in those later rounds, you know, after he initially got really hurt, that he was hitting Roman with some good shots as well. And it was a good back and forth fight in certain parts of certain rounds. But I thought that Roman was just the heavier hitter. He was more accurate with the shots. He was more fluid too. His ability to combine his body and head attack was just really good for his skill level and his experience level. And I think Lopez was just didn't have enough tools in his toolbox. Wasn't able to really get to that next gear, that next level to beat Roman. I'm excited to see Roman, and I'm really excited to see Lopez again. You know, obviously Lopez has to take a step back. I hope that maybe some speed and endurance training would help him, I think, because he is a fighter. Like, he's a natural fighter. I think his technique needs some work, obviously, but anyone at that level, obviously, they need to work on their technique. But I think that both men, relatively speaking, had their stock rose a bit. I obviously think Daniel Roman had his stock rose a lot. You know, he may get a fight that he's not ready for next because of this win. But it was a great bout, and I cannot wait to see where Roman goes from here, because there's moments when I was talking, me and Santiago, JP, Info Joe, we're all texting each other during the fight, and I remember saying, like, there's moments when his ability to mix up his offense was almost like a Roman Gonzalez-esque, obviously not that level of ability and skill, but it just reminded me of that. It'd be interesting to see where he goes from here.
For sure. Really quick, want to give a quick shout out to Steve Rodriguez, who's just confirmed that he will also be going to the TBV Appreciation Night, which will be held in Williamsburg in Brooklyn, New York, minutes away from Brooklyn Barclays Center. He, like I said, just confirmed and also signed up for Patreon, so he's about to receive that goodness and see the video of the location before the world and before the decision. Final decision is made, and it's going to be a collective decision by the family, but I'm receiving messages left and right. Shout out to Shannon on Patreon. MC Shannon, you already know, he's going to be there. He also confirmed. So anybody who met him on the first one will get to meet him now on the third one. And he also said option two is the best option. And shout out to Mouse, signed up as well to Patreon, you know. Definitely appreciate that. But you're going to appreciate all that we're doing over there, because you'll see, man, I'm posting heavy over there. And like I said, man, if you download the absolutely free app, it's just one of the best ways to communicate with me and everyone else in our little community that just continues to grow. I mean, they all have their own conversations in there as well. So really quick, back to Adam Lopez's messages from yesterday at 6:04 p.m. He said, thank you for everybody who had kind words for me after my title elimination bout. It was a tough fight. He had a better night than me. I'm not going to lie. I will come back. It will be a hard road, but I'll come back. I'd just like to say I was surprised by the support I got after. I must admit, it made me feel better that my friends were still in my corner after my fight. I didn't give up because it's not in me, and y'all didn't give up on me. Love you guys for it. I'll be back in the ring soon. Thank you. Much love. Listen, Adam, you already know it's all love over here, and we can't wait to get you back. I know that, Matt, you mentioned strength and conditioning and, you know, things of that nature, and I'm feeling like I like that angle. I feel like maybe you're right. He needs to do something because I didn't like the way this body looked. I want my fighters to look like fighters. I know everybody doesn't have to look like they're in a, you know, bodybuilding contest, but, you know, he's 122, right? 118, 122, 122. He's
122.
He's those divisions. So he's 8 pounds lighter than Tank. Does he look like Tank? No. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he needs to tighten up a little bit more. It's odd because, you know, you're over there with Ronnie and those gyms in Texas, man. I hear that those gyms in Texas are brutal in terms of the heat. So it's not like he's fat. Maybe it's genetics.
It could be. That's very possible. Obviously, that's something like he can work with like a nutritionist and a doctor. And like he can have a team that can obviously assess where he's at and what he can do. Especially if he's in a good gym, they usually have contacts and people that can do that. But I think that I thought he looked very slow and labored at times. And to me, that was a sign of poor conditioning. And I don't know what is necessarily the right thing to fix that because I'm not in the gym. I don't see what his workout is. I'm not going to judge him. But to me, it seemed like there was a cardio issue and that had an effect very early on in the fight. You know, the second that the fight started getting rough for him, he didn't have that cardio factor to back up on. And he obviously didn't have the power, I think, to really back up what he was trying to do in there. And again, obviously he didn't even tie up at all when he was getting hurt, you know, like simple stuff like that. And I know like everyone shits on clinching, but that's a part of boxing. Deal with it, get over it. And the fact that so many times when he was getting hit with hard shots that he would shell up, go to the ropes, not tie up. And it was like, that's the worst thing you can do. And then his other plan other than that was to go head first in and try to throw bombs with him. And like nothing he did defensively when he was hurt was the smart thing to do. And if you have a good trainer, that should not be happening, period. And I'm not saying that he has a bad trainer, but maybe he's not taking the training right. And obviously, like, we love you, Adam, like your TBV family. But, you know, I say this purely out of respect and what I think that you can do to better yourself, you know, because even if it's lost, take positives from it, improve yourself. And I think that there is definite things he can improve himself in that bout. And one watch through that he can do, he can sit there on his couch, watch that fight and go, I need to do 12 things better and work on that for the next 3 to 6 months.
Really quick, we're going to go out to a Patreon message from one of our Patreon family UK listeners that obviously cannot call in, sent in a message. I said, what's going on? I'm going to read his second point of his message because the first point was for last week's show about AJ and whether or not he can do the 50,000 versus Ortiz. Simply put, he agrees with you, Matt, that he can do it. He said they'll, you know, AJ's tickets are like gold dust and they'll buy, you know, anyone he fights, even if it was Willy Wonka. That being said, his second point is on today's topic about Crazy Angel using the N-word. And his quote here, and I quote, he says, from an outsider's perspective who doesn't know anything about the Philly culture and what is acceptable and what isn't, I think it was totally outrageous. He must have used that term like 10 times. If that was done in the UK, he would have been lynched. It would have been everywhere. It makes me want Danny Garcia to lose, which is a shame because Danny Garcia is nice and polite and humble, respectful guy. But because of his racist father, I want Thurman to knock him out so he can shut his father up. If I saw Angel on the street, the only thing that would stop me from pissing on him was if he was on fire. That's fucking harsh.
But who was this? Who said that?
Asim.
Oh my God, that's so bad. And here's the thing. And
well, before I just want to, because I know everyone had forgot this. And Thursday, I mentioned how this could play in two ways. And it's already playing out in my theory, where Danny gets that Mayweather effect and you want to see him lose. if he doesn't lose, he's a product because people pay to watch you lose.
It's not, okay, here's my personal take on it. And I know people think I'm like this huge hater or negative about this, and I don't know why, but I get that in the chat all the time. I don't get how this is a negative view on it. I think this is just the reality of the situation. Most people either don't know or don't give a shit that for some reason in the Puerto Rican community, if you're white, it's okay to say the N-word. Most people outside that community, which is a lot, a vast, vast majority of the nation, does not know and does not give a shit. Like, that's just a fact of nature. And to assume that, oh, you know, it's accepted in that community, so it's okay. Well, no, it's not accepted in any other community, really, unless you're a neo-Nazi. So it's not going to help. It's never going to help. To say you're a bitch or fuck you is one thing, but to say the N-word to somebody or to call somebody a faggot is just something completely different. And I think that we have to stop using a false equivalency of those words because they're not the same thing. You know, even like this might sound fucked up, but Mike Tyson saying, I'm going to eat your children is even a little bit different than saying the N-word and faggot, because those words have historical precedent, hundreds and hundreds of years of rape, torture, and abuse. So let's not pretend like they're the same thing. You know, and let's not pretend that CBS and Al Heyman and everyone behind the scenes is not aware of that and the damage it could do to either Danny's career or this fight.
I agree. Listen, man, it looks like an early night. Fight fans don't. Oh, I guess not. Phone lines never sleep. We're in the tri-state area, the city that never sleeps, huh? Oh, he just. I guess he hung up when he heard that music. Sorry, 714. Maybe you call back in. Who knows? Listen. Short night, man. Way to give me the weekend off. When does Game of Thrones start, for Jesus' sakes?
I do not know. And I'm a huge fan of Game of Thrones, so I should know that. But no matter what, it's sucking up the HBO budget. Let's be real.
Yeah, man. I mean, sucking up the HBO budget. I guess. I don't know. Well, this has been your edition of the Boxing Voice. We want to thank everyone who called in, who participated. We want to thank everyone who continues to support the Boxing Voice. Head on over to theboxingvoice.com/videos. Check out the TBV Appreciation Night in Las Vegas. We have released the video. It is definitely available for viewing, absolutely free. You can check out how we parted with Deontay Wilder, Peter Quillin, and Caleb Plant, and how we got down with Santiago from the 323 and JP from Long Beach. Matt the editor there was there as well. Steven was there. I mean, just tons of TBV family. We're doing it again. March 3rd, Friday. It's going down the eve before Thurman Garcia. I can feel the excitement. The electricity is going to be insane in there. We got to get a projector. We got to be rolling multiple Danny and Thurman fights while we're chopping it up. We're not going to sleep. You know, we made sure to get a venue that let us go to the crack of dawn. So we're going to do this one big this year. We're inviting guests. We already got two guests booked. We're going to keep it, you know, private. So we build up that list just a little more. You know, it's very early. We're giving you plenty of time. We want you to drop your $50 RSVP. This way you can make your payments and kind of a payment plan type of thing, so that it doesn't just hit you by surprise, because this one's going to be big. Very big. You know, what was the rumor of that fight? Before we go, there's a rumored fight now, March 11th in Washington, D.C. It just, so many fights. They just announced David Lemieux
versus Jermell Charlo versus Chris Hatley or whatever. And,
yeah, Charles Hatley.
Charles Hatley and
you're talking Joey. I told you not to buy
Gary Russell. Gary Russell might move to that card. That's what they're talking about.
This thing down, Joey. I told you not to buy your tickets yet to that freaking Broner card. Now they're saying they're pulling Gary Russell off that card with his WBC title and Oscar Escaldon, plus Jermell Charlo's pulled off that card. He's headed towards Washington, D.C. So I don't even know. Now they're saying you got Lamont Peterson versus David Avanesian over there, Granados Broner, and who's the other fight? Oh, Marcus Brown, Thomas Top Dog Williams is still on that card. I don't know, man. I was checking flights for me last night. This thing is like
not worth it. Not worth it, bro.
I think I'm going to do an immediate reaction from home. I don't know. What are you saying? Hey, Flo, what do you know? But yeah, Joey, I told you not to do it. There you go. Should have listened to TBV, man. And your Patreon, bro. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Let's hope we get some boxing news, man. Damn. I mean, at least this is
fight slow week. Right? It has been a slow week.
This is fight week, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, Carl Frampton, Leo Santa Cruz, the big pick of the year, right? I mean, what was – oh, no, we had Badu Jack. Badu
hey,
Jack.
That 832 number came back on. If you want to go to the 832 number.
832. We're going to give you a few seconds. We were out of here, though, man. Who's this?
Oh.
And no, what up, man? He going to say that 832 number. You see this producer? We going to shoot him.
I didn't look at the list. I'm sorry, Eno. I didn't look at the list. I just wanted to get to you as fast as possible.
The machine gun. Oh, the machine gun. Oh,
yeah. Eno, come on.
I'm going Punisher style. I'm going in the closet. I'm going to turn up the couch. I'm getting everything out. What we got? What you want? I got the AK-47. I got an AK-12. No, I got the 9mm. I got a 50 cal.
AK, we got to keep it up. We got to keep it where we from. Keep it street. You have an AK.
There you go. Talk to me, Eno. How's it going on, brother? How was your weekend, first and foremost, man?
Say, bro, I had a nice weekend. Bro, I had a night. I stopped and, did a little something with the family. Now I'm back out shit hustling. You know what I'm saying? I'm up here in St. Louis. I'm in the loo right now. Matter of fact, hold up. Yeah, man. You know how we doing, Ness.
Safe travels, man.
You remember that shit, Ness?
I sure do, man. I sure do. Safe travels on the road, N.O.
Yeah, man. I do a lot of that trouble. But look, man, we're going to make our picks Thursday, right? I'm going to call back Thursday and make my picks. I ain't going to make nothing early. I need to see some more footage. Need to see some more training footage and everything. But I'm gonna lock it down because I'm wanting to know right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to have a perfect record this year. You understand? But I'm gonna holler at y'all, man. I'm gonna get off at the exit.
All right, Eno, be careful out there. You have fun, man. Yo, so how many losses I already got? Damn, I gotta get out this hole quick. I'm gonna have to pick a trifecta this weekend.
Well, we're not gonna count the Adam Lopez fight because we did not make the callers pick that fight. That's why we're not counting that.
Thank God.
MD want us to take Crow for that. But fuck that, okay? Because we didn't make the callers pick that fight. You know, we did that just because we're nice. And, you know, because we know Adam Lopez. So it's different. It's different. Damn it.
Yo, Alex, what you mean a live stream from the fight? What fight? And show what food? He lost. I'm lost. Put more comments in the chat. Anyway, let me get up out of here. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. This is the third time we turned down the outro music. We are definitely out this time. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NesGTO. If you want to talk boxing during off-peak hours, meaning not during the show, hit me up on Patreon. That's where I obviously respond immediately. Any patron can tell you that. Definitely head on over to Mix Combat Radio on Patreon and support your favorite editor who's here every day. And we'll be at the TBV Appreciation Night in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, on that rooftop. Anyway.
And you can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Mixed Combat Radio, like Ness said, on Patreon, YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, Facebook. Look us up. We cover all combat sports. I know me and Joey have been talking about doing a pro wrestling podcast as well. I don't know.
Info Joe?
No. Joey from Indiana.
Oh, my God. Pro wrestling? You guys are insane.
I don't watch pro wrestling, but Joey's like, we got to do it. So I'm like,
oh, Joey, Ric Flair is gone. Ric Flair. The greats are not around anymore, baby. Even The Rock is gone. You know what I mean?
He comes back every once in a while.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
No, it's not. He's making like the Jumanji 2 now.
It is not the same. Listen, one last quick reminder for everyone that needs the RSVP. head on over to theboxingvoice.com/reunion. You do not want to miss it. Stop kicking yourself in the ass. Stop saying you're going to the next one. You keep missing out. And it just keeps getting better and better. You don't want to miss New York City. It's going to be insane. Just the response to the RSVPs are insane. We can tell that it's going to be completely jam-packed. We're going to have a wonderful time. You know, I'm seeing so many regulars RSVPing. It's just going to be great.
Guys, you need show. You need amazing show. Just call me. I'm staying here. I'm ready for everybody.
We all know it, Triple G. We'll see you as well, March 18th. Listen, guys, later.